So what is it really like to be an unspecified number on a hospital waiting list with no idea when you might get the operation you need, stuck in treatment limbo? Tonight we bring you Jeff's story, not sick enough to be a top priority, sorry, but certainly unwell enough to make life pretty bloody miserable. Yesterday we reported on the Southern DHB being forced to apologise to four urology patients whose treatment and care fell short of required standards. In one case, it's likely to have shortened a patient's life expectancy. In fact, a damning Health and Disability Commissioner report found lengthy delays in assessment and treatment had resulted in substantial clinical risk. Here's the Southern DHB boss, Chris Fleming, responding to that report on the program yesterday.
Look, I think what we need to focus on is the improvements that we've made, and I'm quite proud of the way the team have pulled together to improve the services overall.
Right now, how many patients are waiting outside the recommended times, whether that be for a first specialist appointment, a biopsy or treatment? So how many are outside the recommended times?
For those patients who have been seen and who have been identified as needing surgery, there are around about 100 patients waiting longer than the 4 months.
That was Chris Fleming, the CEO. So 100 people waiting longer than the Ministry of Health guidelines for their operation. Number 61 on that list is 81-year-old Dunedin man Jeff. Jeff needs a small surgical procedure so he can pee properly. A 2 to 8 week wait is what he was told to expect. That was months ago.
I'm still waiting here. I did ring last week to see how I was going on the waiting list, and they said there's 60 people ahead of me, and I haven't moved because they can't get theatre time to get the list down.
And tell me, how bad is it while you wait? What are your symptoms?
Well, it's not a continual thing. It just comes in bursts. The worst was when I was having to go to the loo between 20 minutes and half an hour, and passing nothing but just having a wee dribble. And that went on, you know, for about 5 days and 5 nights till I collapsed through lack of sleep or something. But my wife found me lying on the floor. She called the ambulance and they took me and they said, we'll sort it out for you, don't worry. Yeah, but they sent me home and it's never improved. But the time has changed right out now. Sometimes I might go as much as an hour without going to the toilet.
And so what
is livable.
What's it meant for your quality of life?
Oh, you spend half your time looking for a toilet. Quality of life is not so hard because if you don't get rid of all your urine, you get an infection down there. And if you get an infection, you then get to the stage where you get wee clots and you're peeing out clots, and it really makes your eyes water.
Jeff, do you mean blood clots, that you are sometimes passing blood clots when you get infections waiting for an operation?
Yes. Yeah, that's the sort of thing. So they then put you on something to get rid of that, which does, but it recurs all the time.
I want people to understand what that is like for you. So can you explain to me what is it like? I mean, how painful is that?
It's about as painful. It's pretty bad, really, because you burst into pee and there's a blockage there. Then it goes, flies out. When I say flies out, it falls out fast. And you get a bit of relief, but within a few seconds there's another one and you'll get a stream of them. Then I suppose you run out of clots there and it stops again for a while, then builds up again. And that is not good until you get the antibiotics to stop it. It's pretty painful.
That sounds utterly horrendous, Jeff.
Yeah, well, it's not the sort of thing you want to happen continuously, and it's been happening too often.
When was the last time you felt well, that you felt like you could, well, simply go to the toilet and have a pee and everything was fine?
I can't remember that. Goodness me, no. You always start off by trying to get there before you really need to go, because it happens in a hurry. sometimes, but enough to be an embarrassment rather than relief.
So you've collapsed, well, at least once, but I understand you've collapsed more than that, haven't you?
Yes, several times.
Tell me about
twice
that.
I had to took in. Well, I can't tell you much because I was out to it, and they took me in twice in the ambulance. A&E sort of restored things. I've got no idea what they really did because I was out of it. And then they'd send me home again and away we'd go again.
When you called them last week, were they able to give you an idea of how much longer you will have to wait?
No, none whatsoever. But I felt so sorry for the lady trying to organise the thing when she was getting blocked from the lack of theatre space so the people couldn't move.
So what do you reckon when they say that you're a non-urgent case?
Yes, yeah. I don't know what to say to that. What can I do? You know, all I can do is moan and complain about it, and nobody wants to listen. So I've driven my wife mad. I just don't know what else you can do. I can go to my doctor and he sympathises, but that isn't getting any better.
So here's your opportunity to speak to the boss of the Southern DHB. What would you want to say to him? Because he told us yesterday that he's proud of the improvements that they've made to the service there. Here's your chance. What would you like to say to him?
He obviously has rose-tinted glasses. That thing hasn't improved, has it? Otherwise you wouldn't have a waiting list. And to be knocked back at every time you go there, it's a bit much. You work and you do your best all your working life and you think you're going to be looked after by society, but you're not, are you? You're just left out there. And I presume at my age they'll be saying, well, put him up again, he's a fair chance he'll kick the bucket, so we'll be right. And obviously you don't want to be treated like that. But I don't know. It's a feeling of uselessness because you can't do anything. We can't go for a holiday because there's not enough toilets around. And we can't travel too far. Once again, you know, my bladder stops us doing that sort of thing. It's, and the pills that they put you on are, they've got, we've had 20 years now since we've had a sexual relationship with the bloody pills. So this is not good.
And the thing is, it seems like such a simple procedure that you need that could change your quality of life considerably.
Yes. Yes, I'd like that to happen. But I really can't believe that I can't believe I'm talking like this. No. It is a simple operation, I believe, but it is still an operation and we are still waiting.
And that's Jeff, a Dunedin man who's on the waiting list for prostate surgery.